sure that this is. Check, check, check.
Testing. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Cool. There's little waveforms, but that's okay because I can gain it later. And welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Man Show for all Council of Man members. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here this evening with our friend, well-known friend, Mr. Sam Guzman, the Catholic gentleman. Sam, it's so great to have you aboard.
Thanks for having me.
Sam just gave an awesome talk at one of the parishes here in the Tulsa Diocese. And me being the guy who is a radio guy and saw the opportunity, I brought my equipment with me and said, hey, Sam, after your talk, can you spare about 10, 15 minutes? Let's talk about the Mass. Let's talk about the Latin Mass. And I knew from the moment of saying the Latin Mass that it was a hook, line, and sinker for him. So Sam's gonna be here with us this evening talking about the Latin Mass. Now, Sam, I want to make a couple clarifications before we really get deep into this. I've been a Catholic my whole life. Tomorrow will be my 31st anniversary of being a Catholic. I was baptized 31 years ago as of tomorrow. So I've been a Catholic my whole life, but I've been going to St. Benedict's, which is not a Latin Mass. And in fact, the first exposure that I had to the Latin Mass was the Clear Creek Abbey. That was like when I was, 12.
Okay.
And then I wasn't again until literally about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So my first impression whenever I got into, about 2 years ago when I went to the Latin Mass, and I was walking through seeing everything, I realized this is what a Protestant feels like when they go to a Catholic Mass. They have no idea what's going on, yet they know that there's something reverent happening, but they can't figure out what's happening. I had this for the very first time in my whole life. I had this idea of, I understand what a Protestant feels like going to a Catholic Mass, because as a Catholic who has never been to a Latin Mass before, going to a Latin Mass, having absolutely no idea really what's going on, even though I've been a Catholic my whole life, I finally figured out that's what they feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So, I think that the liturgy is obviously very important. How we worship our Lord is extremely important. I want to be clear also that, the church has approved both the Latin form and the English form. English form as well. There's a lot of lines that are drawn, and it's almost like, well, if you don't like this way, then you're not Catholic, or if you don't like this way, you're not Catholic, and that's just a bunch of hogwash. What are your thoughts?
Well, I love what you said about like that feeling of disorientation. I mean, to me, that's one of the things I love about the Mass, is that no matter how long you've been going to it, there is a sense, there does become a sense of familiarity eventually, but there's always a sense of almost disorientation when you walk into this sacred space and it's quiet and there's, this sacred language being used, and there's different elements that in a sense make you uncomfortable. And I almost believe there's a sense in which holiness, we talk about God as holy, he's thrice holy, 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 the angels say. What does that mean? He's cut off from the ordinary. He's different. He's other.
Right.
And that holiness should be disorienting. It should make you uncomfortable in a sense. You look in scripture, and every time somebody encountered God, they were radically uncomfortable. They were not they were not feeling good. They were
right.
Feeling very strange and very disoriented and very drawn out of themselves, and there was almost a sense of fear there. And that's not to say that we should be afraid of God in the sense that he's going to hurt us, and yet he's awesome. And that word awesome is way overused, but it should mean awe-inspiring. And mm-hmm. So all that to say that when you walk into a Latin Mass, it reminds you that what you're doing is sacred. It's other. It's different. It's mm-hmm. cut off from the ordinary. Mm-hmm. It's something holy. And I think...
Well, liturgy means work. Right.
It's work, yeah. It's demanding. It demands something.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's a modern tendency. Maybe it's just a human tendency. Maybe it's not even modern. But there's always a sense in which we're trying to drag down God to our level. We don't feel comfortable in his presence, and so we want to make ourselves comfortable.
Right.
And you look at the children of Israel when they were at the base of Mount Sinai. God's in this great cloud, thunder and lightning. They're a little terrified. So what do? They create this golden calf. Much more comfortable.
And
before you know it, they're worshiping a false god because it appeases them. So anyway, all that to say that I think it's a healthy thing. It's a healthy thing to be drawn out of ourselves.
I think the word you said was, comfort or uncomfortable. And I think that's a nail on the head, because in the Latin Mass, the congregation is quiet. There's a lot of quiet time. There's a lot of, time for meditative prayer, for contemplation that you don't get, in a normal, in an ordinary form of the Mass. In this world of the dictatorship of noise, it's hard to orient yourself to the quiet, the silent.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, because like that, and liturgy is hard. I mean, liturgy is work. And because in the Latin Mass, because there's so much time for meditative prayer, a lot of men aren't used to that quiet time of meditative prayer. So it takes a lot of work to build up to do that.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things our society in general is terrified of is silence. I mean, you're driving in the car, you got to have music blasting. Mm-hmm. You know, you're at home, you got to have the TV on.
Right.
You know, just wherever you go, there's got to be something to drown out the silence. And Latin Mass, there's a lot of silence. Even in a high Mass where there's singing and choir music and things, there's still great pauses there, silence, and prayers that are whispered that you don't even hear. They're just between the priest and God. And that's really weird to our culture, where it's just inundation with noise. And yet it's so healthy. It's almost, that's one reason I love the Mass, is it's like a detox from our culture.
Yes.
Every time I go to the Mass, it's like this quiet bubble in a crazy world. And you can just be quiet and you can be silent and you can just be with God. You don't even have to think about anything or do anything. You know, there's multiple ways. You can follow the prayers if you want. That's probably the preferred route. But if not, you can just be there and be quiet and be in God's presence.
Yeah, for a word of the wise, for the guys who are listening who's never been to a Latin Mass before, if you decide to go, bring a missal.
Yeah.
preferably, Thomas, what's that missal? Is Mary Knoll, is that the missal that you use, correct? Because that's both the English and the Latin.
Most of them do.
Excellent commentary by Charles Callan, Father Charles Callan, correct? Okay, so that'd be the one. It's interesting, Sam. The liturgy can literally change the world. Okay, and I know people use the words change the world way too often. That's maybe a cliche statement, but we can even read in the New Testament when Saint Paul is in jail, and he's in jail, and what is he doing? He's singing. Right? And what happens? What happens whenever he's sitting there, he's in jail and he's singing, what happens? There's an earthquake that happens and he's set free. So it literally defies the reality that we're in, the liturgy is, happens. They're literally participating in the liturgy in a jail cell, and earthquake happens and they're free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, so the liturgy can seriously change the world.
Yes. And it is every day. I mean, I think we take it for granted that the world is just going on about its business, and yet all around the world there's thousands of masses being said every single day. And yeah, and I heard, I think it was Saint John Vianney, but he said essentially that the world could survive more easily without the sun than it could without the mess.
Either Saint John Vianney or Padre Pio.
Padre Pio, one of the two.
Yeah,
they were actually very similar in their spirituality. But anyway, that's a profound statement.
Such
we could survive even more easily without the sun than the Mass. I mean, that it's really holding the world together, and it's a beautiful reality.
Yeah, because obviously it's heaven on earth.
Yeah, right.
So let me ask you this. There's the guys who are listening right now who's never been to a Latin Mass. They decide, I'm going to go to a Latin Mass this Sunday. They're going to take their families, they're going to get up, and they're going to go to a Latin Mass this Sunday. What's your advice to those men who've never been?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, two things. First of all, realize that in a radical way, it's completely God-centered. It's not about you. And that's a really freeing thing when you think about it. One thing that we live near Clear Creek Abbey, and one of the beautiful things about the monastic mass is it doesn't matter if I'm there or not. The monks are going to be doing, they're going to be doing their liturgy whether or not I'm there. I'm really irrelevant to it. And there's almost a sense in which, that sounds kind of offensive at first. And yet when you think about it, it's freeing because you can just worship. You have this privilege to be in God's presence. So it's radically God-centered. So don't go to a Latin mass expecting to use the language of modern Christianity to get something out of it. Mm. Well, you'll get Jesus, and there's not really anything greater than that. But beyond that, don't expect it to be oriented towards you. The music, you may not like the music.
Right.
You may not understand half of what the priest says, or even more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's okay. That's okay. So understand that going in, that it's radically God-centered. And it might be a little bit uncomfortable. That's not a bad thing. So number two.
Or a whole faith is centered around uncomfort.
Yeah,
look
absolutely.
At the cross.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's a few things more uncomfortable than that. But, number two, I always encourage people when they say, let's go to the Mass, should I try to figure out what the priest is doing at every moment? Well, That's actually kind of difficult to do. So what I always say is the first one or two times you go to the Mass, just take it all in. And this is kind of controversial advice because there's people say, no, you should do the exact opposite, try to figure everything out. Well, you can do that. But I think you'll find yourself distracted and you won't appreciate it as much. So just take it all in. Don't, just do what everyone else is doing. When they kneel, you kneel. When they stand, you stand. Just imitate what everyone else is doing. But other than that, don't try to figure it out. Just take it all in as this great mystery. And then maybe once you've gotten a little, you've taken it in, you've gotten the feel for it, because it's a very different feeling, then you can get a missal. And the churches always have them in the back that you can borrow if you don't have one of your own. And then you can try to start following along. And I think you'll find that that's a much a more intriguing way of experiencing it. First of all, you're just taking it in. Wow, what's happening? There's all these signs and gestures, and the priest is doing all these things that I don't understand. And then when you try to understand it a little bit deeper, you'll have a more appreciation for what's happening, I think.
How long have you been going to a Latin Mass?
Let's see now. I can. So it's been about 5 years.
About 5 years.
Yeah.
And but before that, because you weren't Catholic before then.
Correct.
Correct. Okay. So did you start out going to the Latin Mass? That was like your first experience.
No. I was confirmed in a Novus Ordo parish, ordinary form parish. I have to say that within about 6 months, I was going to the Latin Mass full time. So
okay.
We kind of eased into it. We started going once a month, and then maybe twice a month, and then three times a month, and then...
What was your wife's thoughts?
Oh, she hated it. I mean, it was such a shock for her, because she came from a Baptist background, and I had become, in my conversion process, had become more and more liturgical, Anglican, that kind of thing. I really loved liturgy. She had come from a Baptist background where the liturgy is, two hymns and an hour-long sermon. Mm-hmm. So liturgy in general was a shock for her.
Right.
And then, the Latin Mass was total, like, world-shaking, like, this is so weird. But I would say within, a month or two, she was really into it. And You know, she doesn't always know everything that's happening, you know, at every moment, but she knows what's happening. You know what
right.
I'm saying? There's a difference where you don't have to know every prayer the priest is saying, but you know this is the sacrifice of the cross made present again for us. And so she really does love it, and she, you know, has really acclimated to it very well. So,
One thing I can remember when I was at the Clear Creek, and I actually still don't know this answer, so maybe you do. I'd love for you to tell me. The advice that you gave is exactly what I did, and I strongly I second your advice here as a guy who doesn't go to the Latin Mass very often, but is to just take it all in, to observe what's going on, because there's this an amazing sense of reverence that you just don't get elsewhere, and I think a lot of that has to do with the silence. I think a lot of it has to do with you realizing that it's way beyond you. It's way beyond your responses, you know, that you get. But one of the things that happened at the monastery is that at certain times, one of the monks would come out, kneel down, stand back up, and then go back into the line, you know, and then another one would come out, stand, or kneel, come, stand back up, go back to their line. And I'm like, I was trying to figure out, is there a word that's cueing them to do that? Like, what's happening? Do you know what's, one, do you know what I'm talking about? Two, do you know the answer?
Yes, I do know what's happening. And that's okay. Unique to the monastic liturgy. That is not something you're going to see at an ordinary Latin Mass parish. Clear Creek is uses the traditional Mass. So what's happening there is essentially the monks are making mistakes in their Latin. And the rule of Saint Benedict prescribes that if a monk makes a mistake, that he should give some sign to the abbot that he's sorry.
No way.
So this is basically a ritualized apology for messing up. So a lot of the
that
young...
That makes sense that the young guy, the it was the
novices,
young one
yeah.
that was doing it.
Yeah, these young guys that don't know Latin yet, they're messing up a lot. And
okay.
Every once in a great while, you'll see an older monk do it, but it's really rare, and it's like kind of probably embarrassing for them. But yeah, it's just like a ritualized oops, you know.
Okay. Because so. I was like trying to pay attention to like, okay, Father just said this, and he walked out. Father said this, and he walked out. Like, I was thinking like, is the word, you know, is there... Anytime the priest says Jesus, one of these guys are coming down and kneeling. You know, I was trying to figure it all out. I couldn't figure out. That makes a lot more sense. That's very interesting. if you don't know, that we're having a camp out at Clear Creek Monastery October 19th through the 22nd. It's the first annual Catholic Man Show camp out. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to have an opportunity to see Clear Creek Monastery, have the opportunity to pray the Liturgy of the Hours and go to Mass. It's just going to be a whole lot of fun. So check out our website, thecatholicmanshow.com, to find out more information about that. Sam, there was like, I think, 20 questions that I was like planning on asking you about the Latin Mass, and now I'm somewhat drawing a blank. Is there anything else that you can say about the Latin Mass that was either shocking to you or advice that you have for guys who may not attend a Latin Mass, or anything else that I haven't given you the opportunity to say?
I guess two final things. The first one would be, I think every Catholic, no matter what form they go to, even Byzantine Catholics, you know, the Eastern Catholics, I think everybody should experience a Latin Mass at least once. Because this is the liturgy that literally for about 15 centuries at least was the liturgy of the Western Church. And I think it's so important to know where you've come from. Even if you don't ultimately end up going to a Latin Mass all the time, to experience the same liturgy that St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, St. Ignatius of Loyola, I mean, all the way back to, you know, even the earliest centuries of the church, different elements of the liturgy can be traced back. To experience the same Mass that these saints experienced is something profound and beautiful about that. And that really was, you know, the second point that I was going to make, was just that there's that beauty of that continuity. And you know, I could say Saint Francis of Assisi could show up at our parish, and there might be a couple differences, but he would generally feel comfortable. I mean, he would recognize it, and he would understand. And so to me, that's a beautiful thing. It's a reality that everyone should experience at least once. So I'll just leave it at that. I mean, I love the traditional liturgy, and I wish all Catholics could experience it at least once.
Tradition is important.
Tradition is absolutely important. You can't know where you're going unless you know where you've come from. And, you know, we love to burn things down in the modern world, rip down old buildings and destroy monuments and generally disregard our forefathers. Catholic men shouldn't do that. We should be men of tradition in the biggest sense of the word, where we love the continuity of our faith. We embrace that fact. And you really can't find your way forward sometimes unless you look back. And we are a family. We're a family, a Christian family, and we're just as united to those saints of the earliest church as we are to the saints of 10 years ago. We're all, and we should not despise that fact. We believe in the communion of saints. So don't look down your nose at people in the past. The traditional liturgy formed many saints, and it can form saints today.
The majority.
Yeah, yeah. So we should honor that. But that's what I've got.
That's awesome, man. I agree. And real quick, if you aren't, which I'm sure everybody here is, but go check out the Catholic Gentleman's Facebook page. He just hit over 100,000 likes on the Facebook page, so it's kind of a pretty big monumental step in the Facebook world. So congrats on that, Sam. That's awesome.
Thanks.
And check out his website, CatholicGentleman.net. Can't go wrong there, CatholicGentleman.net. Sam, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I always enjoy our chats.
Yep, absolutely, man. All right, we're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
Let us raise our glasses.
Cheers to Jesus.